Well, I want to welcome you to our final practice that we're going to focus on. And today's focus is really going to synergize, if you will, maybe kind of live in symbiosis, if you like those kind of terms, with all the other practices we've looked at so far. And it's called a rule of life. Now, a rule of life has been a term that's been used for centuries in the church because that was what the early monastics called it. They developed a rule of life, meaning a way of life, a way of doing the details of life that formed around their values and what they wanted to see themselves become. When you think of rules in a game, the rules are meant to put necessary limits on us so that the game remains fun, so that the goal of the game can be accomplished, so that we can win and celebrate and we can have competition and we can play and do so in a way that maximizes the joy of the game itself. When we think about rules that govern maybe a recipe, if you put those right combinations together, you get something that tastes good and is the right texture as all those chemical reactions go on. Rules are not a bad thing. Rules are a good thing. They regulate, if you will. It's where we get the word regulations. They bring things together in such a way that they thrive. Well, for the early monastics, they would think in terms of having a rule of life, so they would get a steady dose of scripture, steady doses of rest and work. They would get steady doses of community and fellowship life. They would have steady rhythms of prayer so that who they became over time incrementally added up, the recipe added up to, the rules of the game added up to the most joyous conclusion that could be added up to. That's what a rule of life is all about. A rule of life really is a sum of all the practices we've looked at before, bringing them together in what will be called an embodied lifestyle, where we actually make choices about the way we will do life that get into the nitty-gritty of how we handle our money, how we handle our time, what are the values that keep us on course. And you can develop and write a rule of life for yourself. If you're in a relationship with a community, there might be a community rule of life. If you're in a marital relationship, you can develop, as my wife and I have, a couple's rule of life together, in which we have individual components, but there's something that we are doing as one as we move through this life. And I'm actually going to give you some insights into our rule of life to help give you some examples for your own. So how do you create a rule of life? And I actually prefer to call it a way of life. Ignatius had this idea of the modo de proceder, which literally means the way we move forward, the way we proceed, the way we roll, if you will. And my wife and I have defined a way we roll, and it gets into the details, how we pray at mealtimes. It gets into the details of how we want to live our lives with money, how we steward it, what place generosity has in our lives compared to holding on to money and saving money for certain things. So I'm going to lead you into the back door of our rule of life in order to help us along the way. First of all, in developing your own way of life, you have to define what you value. Define what you value. Write down what you value in life. Now, literally what I mean is take a journal and begin to scribble it all out. Doesn't need to have any great form or construct. Ask yourself the question, what do you value? What attitudes and character traits do you value in people? When we began to do this, we started to come up with a few key ideas. We realized we value simplicity. We actively pursue avoiding complexity in our lives so that there's less on our minds, there's less to have to hold together, to maintain, to keep track of. We realized we value generosity, that we value people who have been generous to us, and we want to be those kinds of people who are generous to others with our time, with our resources, with the gifts that God allows to flow through our hands. We realize that we value together creativity. We're willing to look beyond conventional ways of doing things. We're willing to think innovatively, to think of doing something that might be unexpected or not the norm for people in our neighborhood. We're happy to live that way. We realize that we valued community and hospitality. We want to have people in our home, and when they're in our home, we want them to leave feeling energized and delighted and rejoicing and thankful that we have the relational connection that we have. We realized that we also value, especially as we're aging, more contemplative living. We value a slower pace and a reflective way of doing life, where we're not rushing through things, but we're learning how to savor moments, being thankful for the gifts of God in that particular day, in that particular event. We value that we're not rushing from place to place. One of the things that we learned early on is that we think that people are in a hurry. You've heard that phrase, I'm in a hurry, we're in a hurry. But the reality is, I've discovered that the hurry is in us. The hurry is within. The hurry is happening inside of us, and we are often projecting our inner hurry on the outer world, and that puts us in a hurry, and it creates all manner of problems due to stress and rushing through life. We don't learn to savor and be grateful. We value doing less activities with greater mindfulness. And those values started to find real shape and practical form for us. We began to write down details of our lives that would reinforce those values in our whole life by choices we were making. When you forget what you value, it's great to be able to fall back on your habits. If your habits already embody what you value, then you're going to keep your values straight by staying true to the plans and the detailed plans that you've made. So what we begin to see is something starting to take form. And that moved us into the second stage. Well, what values do we have? What are the main ones? What do we mean by them when we say them? And then our second stage was, what practices embody those values? What can we do to keep reinforcing those values? How can we handle the minutes and the hours of our day? How can we set aside times for times of retreat and personal development? How can we set aside money so that we can be generous with other people? Money and resources, time. How can we make our home a hospitable place so our value of community is connected to us inviting people into that space that we're happy to invite them into because we've made it a place for them? So we begin to ask ourselves those questions because what we do forms us. Habits then, these practices that embody your values, become your best friends over time because you start to become the very thing you hoped you would become because you've got patterns in your life to do it. They literally keep you on the rails. There are many distractions in life ready to take you off the rails, take me off the rails. Our habits and practices are what keep us on the rails, and a rule of life, a way of life written out that is reviewed regularly, whether it's on your Sabbath or reviewed quarterly, or like we do in addition to that, we go away once a year and review our way of life to see if we're staying on track. Those habits become our best friends in leading us to who we want to become and who we want to be in a world. Sometimes our habits and practices are big yeses to those values and to God. Sometimes our habits and practices are firm no's to the world around us. They are acts of resistance so that we don't lose our way over time. And I'll get practical about those in a moment. How you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you save, how you treat other people, how you set aside times in your calendar and in your appointment book are what a rule of life, a way of life is all about. So we started by getting all those values down, and then we started to break them into categories. And I'll share with you our categories. Our first category was life postures. And life postures are the values: simplicity, generosity, creativity, community and hospitality, and contemplative living. Those became our way of doing life. So once we've written down and determined our values, we're looking at these practices to hang on them, to get into the nitty-gritty, into the details. Our first page we started to see distilled were devotional practices. And we began to look at scripture and prayer, how we handle it in our home, how we take it in, how we'll do it personally, and how we'll do it as a couple. Then we looked at silence, solitude, and stillness, and we began to look at ways we would pray. At our table prayer, for example, we always take a minute of silence before we begin to pray. That's been very good for us to center as we come together after a long day of work. Then we have retreat and study. It's been very important to us that once a year we've set aside a time to go away, review our way of life, and review our personal connection to our way of life, how we're doing. We review important decisions that we need to make and have discernment on. We review what God did the past year. It's a very important time for us. That's part of our devotional practices that connects us to our values of a contemplative life, of a generous life, of a listening life to God. We also have down under a section we call dreams, something we'd like to do, but maybe we don't feel like we can afford right now. It's not realistic. And for us, we have having our own personal retreat once a year under that category. We actually sometimes have gotten that, but sometimes we don't get a personal individual retreat. But that's an example of how we broke down that rule of life. And then in the second category, we have rest, how we handle Sabbath, how we handle play and recreation. On the Sabbath day, we even have detailed notes we've come to agreement on. No electronics, except when we're with the kids, or needing to be in touch with our kids from a certain time frame. That matters for me. In my job, electronics are central to what I do. It's great for me to get a vacation from electronics. So that's part of our way of life. We attend our church with a certain rhythm. There's no pressure on the other person about what we want to do on the Sabbath. We're each finding our points of rest and renewal separately and then together as well. It's been a wonderful gift. Every Thursday night, we talk about our plans for the next week so our calendar doesn't get a hold of us, ahead of us, and lead us and rule us, that we remain in charge of our calendar and the time frames that go on during the week. We also have notes here about play and recreation, how often we would like to go on vacation, what things matter to us in terms of our physical exercise that go with our rest and play, how often we even like to go out to eat, how often we'll even cook together and prepare a meal together. Those things are all in our way of life. Then we have our general pace of life on this same page, maintaining a slow, reflective pace, non-frenzied, maintaining our margins. And then, of course, we have some dreams on that page as well. A grand piano happens to be one of my dreams because that is a beautiful place of rest for me, playing a grand piano. So I'm looking forward to that one being fulfilled. On our next page, we have an active life. We looked over our values and we started to say, how can we embody that in habits and practices? And we have under our categories on active life, we have occupational work, how we see vocation and work in our lives. Do we see it as the end goal, as the all being of everything, as the end of all things? No, we see it as a part of our lives, and we've sought to see our work life and occupational life as part of our ministry life, but also recognize it's just one part of the life that God has given us. We put down our sense of mission on this page, how we will steward our time and our money. We put down creative work and projects we'd like to work on. We put down our health on our active life page, how often we will work out. We try to alleviate the pressure by not putting all the details in there so we have some flexibility, but we put down some things we want to be held accountable to. And that's a very helpful part of our way of life. Then, of course, we have dreams. My wife wants to do disaster relief work. That's something that's in her heart to do. We're looking for opportunities to do that as part of our active life. Then we have a page called relationships. We have as our categories here, emotional health. How we'll keep caring for one another emotionally in our journey. We actually have written in our bathroom and hung up on the wall our love languages, each of us, so that we remember to care for one another's love languages, to speak those love languages to the other. We have details here related to our family, how often we want to be together with our kids, what we want our marriage to be like, what patterns we could do to build our marriage stronger. We have on here community, how we'll handle friendship and how often we'll have people over in our home. We have the category then purely of friendship, how we want to invest in key relationships that have mattered over a lifetime. And of course, we have dreams. Part of those dreams are things like doing a long walking trip like the Camino I'd love to do with my kids one day. And we keep those down because we keep them in front of us. So a way of life, a rule of life, is something you write down, you revisit, you review, and you allow the Holy Spirit to renew it in you. It's a flexible living document. It can keep changing, but we change it intentionally. You can write one for yourself and you can change it intentionally as different phases and seasons of life come and go. But the key is intention. You've established your values. And like those big stones that go into a jar first, if you put those in first, then you can get the smaller stones in around them. And you can fill the whole thing with water. But if you don't put the big stones in first, you're not going to get them in the end if all the details start to fill it up. You want to get your values in and then practices that reinforce them before life begins to pour in at every corner. So that's a way of life or a rule of life. I would encourage you this year, if you can, to get a retreat of at least 2 days where you are writing down your values. You're writing down practical habits and practices that could reinforce those values. You might want to commit to some of the core and essential practices we already talked about and integrate those into your rule, into your way of doing life. I'd encourage you to do it, to get it down as soon as possible, and then to set a time, not long after, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months maximum, where you're going to sit down and review it, and you're going to see how you're doing. You might choose to every single Sunday review your way of life till it gets in your bones, till you see that you're actually progressing in the way that you want to progress. So that's a way of life, and I'd encourage you to write one as soon as possible. Thanks for joining in today.